Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Well, the big story this week revolves around the killing of a 510-pound black bear in North Carolina, shot down by hunter Eva Shockey. Shockey, who is somewhat of a celebrity in the hunting community and who is co-host of the television show Jim Shockey's Hunting Adventures with her father, posted the horrifying pictures on Facebook. There she is smiling proudly with the corpse of the bear, and she writes, "Biggest bear of my life. Thank you, NC." And of course, the online debate has been raging since with numerous threats made against her and also strong support. Here to give us his take on the killing and the media and social media reaction to it is Joe Mealy, president of Committee to Abolish Sport Hunting, or CASH. Welcome to the program, Joe.
Thanks for having me on again, Dr. Lori. It's always a pleasure.
Joe, this was a legal killing of a bear by a licensed hunter. Is that correct?
Yes, the kill was legal, but obviously it doesn't make much of a difference to the bear whether he was killed legally or illegally. And, you know, that it was a legal kill doesn't make the act any less violent or any less less ethical. It doesn't impress me at all if you follow the game laws.
Right. And why is this incident attracting so much attention, Joe? Was it due to the Facebook post?
It's due to the Facebook post, but let's face it, the difference between Eva Shockey and the great majority of other hunters in the country is that she's an attractive woman as opposed to what we typically think of as an overweight, grizzled white man when it comes to hunters. You know, people are not used to seeing women as bloodthirsty and violent. And when somebody exposes themselves so publicly on Facebook like that, it sparks an insane reaction to the public. And I think it's a little over the top only because she's a woman. Had it been a man, you know, it would have definitely garnered some reaction, but it wouldn't be as public as it is.
So who is this woman, Shockey, and how does she fit into the hunting community overall? Outdoor Channel refers to her as the princess of its royal hunting family.
Well, that's just it. As you mentioned, she co-hosts the show with her father on the Outdoors Channel, which is little more than the hunting channel. You know, it's a tool of the hunting industry to promote unnecessary violence as a form of recreation. And, you know, most likely unknowingly, that she's just another pawn of the hunting and wildlife management industry that uses her just to promote hunting and to bring money into wildlife agencies.
Yeah. You know, in an interview with Field and Stream, she referred to the critical comments about her as, quote, "pure hatred, and hatred mostly comes from fear of the unknown. These people don't know anything about hunting. What's sad is that they don't know all the good things hunting does for conservation, the economy, and our culture." Well, Joe, I think she's correct about people truly hating her, but you disagree with her notion about conservation. Please explain.
Certainly. People do hate her, and I understand their reasons. You know, it's the unnecessary violence and killing helpless animals that pose no threat to her or anyone else. And even more so, her cavalier attitude towards the killing really sickens people. If she were honest, she would talk about how hunting perpetuates a needlessly violent culture, and needless violence can never have a positive effect on society. Saying that something is part of one's culture, you know, it may appease some liberal pacifists among us, but the rest of us, I don't think, believe that such cultural practices deserve any respect whatsoever. You know, ritual sacrifice, bullfighting, there are plenty, we can go on and on about unethical cultural practices. So just to respect them because they've been done for ages is pretty meaningless to me. As far as conservation, when you hear the word conservation spoken by hunters or their apologists, it's really no more than a synonym for killing and systematic exploitation. Hunting agencies are in the business to satisfy hunters and not to serve wildlife, and that's what conservation is all about.
Yeah, it's incredible that the hunters use that as an excuse. And the other day when I was speaking to you, Joe, you were telling me, explaining to me that hunting actually causes the overpopulation.
Yes, hunting does. And that's by design. Wildlife agencies, each state wildlife agency depends on the money that comes in from the sale of hunting licenses and the excise taxes that are placed on the cost of weapons, ammunition, and hunting equipment. Now, without promoting the sport of hunting and without creating populations of animals for hunters to kill, the money stops flowing into the game agencies and people start losing their jobs. Now, this is something that the wildlife agencies actually don't try to hide. They let you know what their sources of funding are. They will let you know that they intentionally increase wildlife populations. But they also keep up this facade that hunting is necessary to thin the herd, it decreases the rate of disease, it decreases car accidents, none of which is true.
Right.
What I found recently doing some research was there is a paper out of Outing, Minnesota called the Northland Press. And on October 28th of 2014, there was a terrific article in there with some statements by officials from the Minnesota DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, that talked about how they were modifying their hunting season this year, especially to increase the deer population. One quote I'd like to read you from this article.
Sure.
Let's see. Leslie McKinley, the big game program leader, talked about how the total harvest, which I love how they use that euphemism, is lower than it's been since the 1980s. And this year's season reflects not only the effects of the winter weather, but a response to public interest in growing the population. So that's what they want to do. They want to do that for hunters. Let's see, Jeff Lightfoot, who is the Northeast Regional Wildlife Manager for the DNR, said, to boost deer densities, we're improving deer habitat and considering deer when planning how, when, and where to harvest timber on public land, all in addition to the regulations that will limit the number of deer harvested this season. So these things are done to increase the population, to keep hunters interested in the sport, to keep them hunting, and to keep the money flowing into the DNR.
Yeah, very good. Thank you for sharing that. Is hunting among women increasing?
Well, hunting agencies certainly tell us that it is, and they're definitely making an effort to lure more women into the blood sports. But given that the methodology that the United States Fish and Wildlife Service uses to tally the number of hunters in the country has changed over the years, we really don't know if female hunters are increasing or decreasing. Right now, Fish and Wildlife has started counting people who hunt without a license, even though a hunting license is required. Those are known as poachers, as far as I'm concerned, and they're usually decried by hunters. But when it comes to boosting the image of the hunter and boosting how popular it is, Fish and Wildlife seems okay to use those numbers. Over the past 30 years, hunting in general has been declining, and that's alarming to the state game agencies that see their funding base decreasing. So that's why they changed the methodology. They want to make it look like hunting is more popular than it is, so fewer people will drop out of the sport.
You know, just so my listeners know, Field and Stream reported that the meat from the bear will be given to the guides and their families, and that the bear will be mounted and displayed. And Mr. Shockey is planning to open a so-called museum where the stuffed bear will be displayed. It's amazing, Joe. This still goes on. I wanted to ask you, Joe, not infrequently, we hear these reports of people minding their own business, like being in their own backyards and being accidentally shot by hunters, or the family dog being mistaken for prey and shot and killed. Do we take these instances seriously enough? Are they prosecuted adequately?
Well, certainly not. When someone injures another person in a car crash after accidentally running a red light or a stop sign, they're charged with not only a motor vehicle violation, but also any penalties that arise from actually hurting someone. But when a hunter accidentally harms someone in the act of hunting, charges are not always brought against them. It's written off as an accident, especially if the hunter was doing everything else legally. The game agents who should be charging the hunters with these crimes are hunters themselves, and they're very reluctant to do anything that's going to show the sport in a bad light in the media.
Joe, I noticed that CASH, Committee to Abolish Sport Hunting, recently has ramped up its Facebook presence, and you just reached 5,000 followers. Congratulations on that. And listen, thank you so much for appearing on Animals Today. Can you give my listeners your website, please?
Absolutely. We're at www.abolishsporthunting.com. And just to mention that we do keep a running tally as best we can of hunting accidents that show up in the media. So when hunters tell you how safe their sport is, just log on to our website and check out our accident center, and you will see thousands of hunting accidents that we've posted to the website that, you know, hunters try to sweep under the rug.
Joe, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Warren.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust to keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from Advancing the Interests of Animals, and here are a few more ways you can be kind to animals, beginning with this. Report suspected animal abuse or neglect. If you see an underfed dog or an animal left in a car on a hot day, report it right away. You could be saving a life. Try a vegetarian diet, even just for a week. Decreasing and then stopping consumption of animals is probably the best way to show your appreciation for them and for the environment, too. Don't buy cosmetics or household products that have been tested on animals. That's easy these days. And finally, don't wear clothing made from animals. Begin by saying no to fur and gradually give up animal products like leather and wool. It's easier than you might imagine. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org.
It's Lumber Liquidators' third annual Yellow and Black Friday flooring sale. Right now, get incredible end-of-year deals before they're gone. There's no better time to get hardwoods, like Brazilian Koa for an unheard-of 40% off, and all bamboo is up to 30% off. Plus, our thickest and best laminates are 25% off our lowest prices, and get 26-month special financing. Even more deals are added daily in our stores. It only happens once a year. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
This is Ann.
Smells good.
From the bakery to the market, morning after morning. For Ann's restaurant, the best special starts with today's freshest catch. That's why she stops at Exxon and Mobil for fuels that help her engine run cleaner, smoother, and with better fuel economy. Because Ann's already got enough on her plate.
Order up. Ann is energy. Exxon and Mobil. Energy lives here. Visit Exxon.com or Mobil.com for more information.
Back to animals today. Last month, the FBI announced a new policy that would begin tracking animal cruelty cases on a national basis as part of the National Incident-Based Reporting System. To explain what this means and how it will help animals, I want to welcome attorney and former Los Angeles animal cruelty prosecutor, Bob Ferber. Welcome back, Bob.
Hi, Lori.
Bob, so what is the National Incident-Based Reporting System?
All right, it's actually a very important system. It collects all the data. People are all familiar with what a criminal record. Somebody gets arrested and they have a past history of crimes that they've committed, and the local police will keep track of that. This database from the FBI has police departments from all over the country, small ones, large ones, sheriff's departments, and they report the crimes that they encounter, whether or not actually somebody is even arrested or just that a crime is reported. The police in all around our country complete a certain form, or they do it now by computer, and it all goes into a central database with the FBI. It's cities and states do that also, but there's a particular significance about the FBI because if you can imagine the FBI not keeping a database of, let's say, somebody of car thefts, it would mean that around the country, police departments could report it, there'd be no mandatory system for ensuring that these crimes are enforced. Of course, most police departments would enforce vehicle thefts, but it's not a national mandatory system. This reporting database never included animal cruelty as anything other than other. It was just a box checked as other, and it meant that police departments around the country were not asked for that information. In fact, it didn't go anywhere. So most police departments didn't report anything because it just went into an other box. Now, your listeners may say, well, who cares about whether the FBI knows about it? This is not because the FBI is going to go out and get people for animal cruelty, although it may on occasion rise to that level of a federal offense. But most animal cruelty and neglect is going to be handled by local animal control officers and local police. By it being reported, mandatory reporting now to the FBI, that sends a huge message to police departments all over the country. And that message is that animal cruelty is now a matter for the police department, that it's now a law enforcement matter. It doesn't mean that local animal control may not be involved, but as many people know, if you ever called the police department in your local community about some animal cruelty, very often or more often than not, you get a response that says, that's not a police matter, call animal control. And then you'd call animal control and they'd say, well, this person is dangerous, they're armed, or we don't handle those kind of violent matters. So we had this huge gap, and there's been a tremendous effort now to get police departments around the country to recognize that animal cruelty is a real crime, that animal neglect is a real crime, not something that just should be shoved under the rug or something that is optional. And so what this really means now is that police departments all over the country are put on notice that this is a real crime that needs to be handled, investigated, and reported.
So, Bob, are you saying that this mandatory reporting of animal cruelty to the FBI will make animal cruelty laws be enforced more carefully?
Absolutely, more carefully and more aggressively. I'm not sure that the law is going to affect the quality of the investigations immediately. But yes, but naturally, because police departments are now being encouraged to get involved in animal cruelty, and this will generate training sessions. Some police departments will, you know, give it 30 seconds. Others may spend a day on it. What it does mean is that police departments will have some encouragement to do it. By the way, participation in the database is something where if a police department wants to access this information, let's say, you know, LAPD or, you know, or Boston Police Department wants to know what's going on in the country with burglaries, let's say, one of their obligations is they have to participate and report everything that goes on in their community. Otherwise, the system wouldn't work. So this means that all the police departments in the country are supposed to now participate, because, all police departments participate in the FBI database system. Everybody does. So just by the virtue of being a police department and now knowing the FBI wants that, that's going to be now considered a regular crime, and there'll be training. There'll probably be more push for better laws. It certainly means one also important thing. The community can tell a local police department when they say, you know, that's not our job. People can point to this and say, no, it is. The FBI is now listing this as a serious felony, and not just animal cruelty of the kind of beating or dog fighting. It actually goes and includes animal neglect. So the dog that's left tied to a tree that is dying of starvation, when the police come out to that matter, if it's serious enough, and that's kind of a local decision, that will be reported to the FBI. And one big part of this also is these statistics then get published nationally. So when you hear about the murder rate went up in Los Angeles, or the burglary rate in around the country is up, or rapes are up or something, or down, there was never anything about animal cruelty. Now, for the first time, you're going to see annual reports saying this is what's happening around the country. And it doesn't mean it's going to be an accurate reflection at the beginning, but it's good because police departments have to gear up. But it's one of probably the single biggest thing I can think of that the federal government can do to encourage local police departments to take animal cruelty seriously.
Wow. Bob, in the last few seconds, now a big element of this is going to be training. Any word on how that will be implemented and where funding for training will come from?
That's a very good question. In most cases, training is police departments rely on their own resources. But it's possible that we'll see some federal grants issued to police departments for this kind of training. Up until now, there was no federal money for this because it was not, the federal government really didn't recognize animal cruelty as a crime. So that's a really excellent point, is that I think we will probably see some money trickling down. But at this point, it's probably still going to be up to local police departments to fund most of their training.
Bob Ferber, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you, Lori.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows, and you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com. Also, make sure to become a friend on Facebook. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org, and I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals.
Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics, and we certainly would appreciate your support. That website, again, is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Did you know up to 1 in 5 Americans will get the flu this year because less than half of us get vaccinated? You didn't know? That's okay. We do. Rite Aid has certified immunizing pharmacists at the ready to discuss your risks, answer your questions, and shield you from what you don't know. So get your flu shot, no appointment necessary, at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
I'm a state-of-the-art 60-inch flat-screen TV. And I mean, not to brag or anything, but if a burglar ever breaks into this place, I'm pretty certain I'm the first thing he's going to steal. I mean, it's not like he's going to take that recliner over there or that coffee table.
Your stuff can't protect itself. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on renter's insurance. Renter's insurance will cover personal property loss or damage as well as provide liability protection. Visit geico.com today.
It's Lumber Liquidators' third annual Yellow and Black Friday flooring sale. Right now, get incredible end-of-year deals before they're gone. There's no better time to get hardwoods, like Brazilian Koa for an unheard-of 40% off. And all bamboo is up to 30% off. Plus, our thickest and best laminates are 25% off our lowest prices. And get 26-month special financing. Even more deals are added daily in our stores. It only happens once a year. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Honey, I had a premonition about Black Friday.
Let me guess, long lines and tons of people.
Nope, I saw great deals at Staples.
Were you on Staples.com when you had this vision?
I don't recall, but it was clear as day.
Uh-huh.
Blowout prices on laptops and headphones. You got me a tablet.
Did I?
Yeah, we were in, out, and home in time to have breakfast in bed.
You saw all that.
You made omelets.
Omelets.
Have a stress-free Black Friday at Staples. Go to Staples.com for deals and coupons good on the hottest tech gifts all week long. Less stress, more savings. Staples.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. All too often in the news, we hear about a dog being shot by a police officer in the line of duty. Now, we covered one of these stories a few weeks ago where the shooting of a dog in his own yard probably could have been avoided.
Our guest, Bob Ferber, former Los Angeles district attorney, mentioned that there was not enough training of law enforcement personnel in handling these situations. Then just a few days ago, we learned about a video that has been produced to address this problem, and here to tell us about it is Janice Bradley, Director of Communications and Publications for the, with the National Canine Research Council. Welcome to the program, Janice.
Thank you for inviting me, Lori.
Janice, why is the National Canine Research Council involved in producing training videos for police officers?
Well, for just the reason that you just described. I mean, our mission is to foster the human-canine bond, and when we see this issue bubbling up in communities where you know, police in the line of duty shoot dogs, it tends to drive a wedge between the community and the police, and obviously it's the ultimate breaking of the human-canine bond. So in 2011, we began working with the Department of Justice and a couple of other organizations to put together a written manual for police officers. And that turned out to be the most popularly downloaded publication on the Department of Justice website. But what some of the feedback that we got from officers and police departments was that it would be really helpful to be able to see the kinds of things that we were talking about, particularly dog and human body language, in a video rather than in a still booklet. So that's what led to the creation of the video series.
And who was involved in producing the video?
The National Canine Research Council, so our organization, the Department of Justice, and an organization called Safe Humane Chicago.
What can you share with us, Janice, regarding how often police officers shoot dogs? Do we overestimate its frequency?
We don't know for sure. There's no central recording, organization that keeps track of this. What we do know is that we're seeing it more and more often in the news. So often, you know, several times a week, you'll see news stories coming up about this all over the country and just pretty much anywhere in the country. So again, maybe not all of them are reported, you know. There are probably more than actually reach the media, but it happens often enough and creates enough discord in the community that it's clearly something that needs to be addressed.
And what are the most common scenarios that lead to the shootings?
It's difficult to say because usually the shootings are under investigation for a fairly long time, and it takes a long time to kind of unpack the exact circumstances of what happened. So sometimes the context differs. Sometimes it's on the dog owner's property. Sometimes it's off the property. Sometimes it's in the context of a traffic stop and the dog has nothing to do with that, or perhaps it's an officer entering a premises where the dogs are. There are all kinds of circumstances. The common denominator, though, is that you have high-pressure, tension-filled scenarios for the police officers, and you have fear. You have police officers who are afraid that they're going to be, you know, bitten and injured by a dog.
Yeah, Janice, you know, as one watches the videos, you realize that many officers just don't know about dogs. They weren't raised with dogs. They don't know how to read and react to the body language of dogs. So you address some very basic points in the video.
And that was one of our big goals in doing this was not to make police officers into dog trainers, but to give them some very, very basic tools that would allow them to tell the difference between a dog that is approaching in a happy, friendly, greeting way and a dog that is approaching because he's trying to drive a threat away, for example. And also things that people can do to change their own body language in order to make themselves seen as less of a threat by a dog. And so there are some very, very simple techniques in the videos that anyone can understand to help police officers, and really anyone, read dog body language a little bit better.
What do you consider the most important practical lessons contained in the video for officers in the field?
Probably the overarching lesson is that dogs actually present a threat much less often than police officers and people in general often assume. That most of the time a dog is not attempting to hurt a person, even if that dog feels, you know, threatened or pressured by the person. Most of the time, the dog would rather avoid the confrontation. And with a little bit of skill, people can learn to help dogs avoid confrontation.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point that you just made. How are the videos being used, Janice? Who has access to them, and can the general public view them?
Anybody can view them. So that leads to our not having real concrete information about how they're being used yet. We've had some reports from individual police departments. We know that the videos have been downloaded well over 7,000 times, that we've distributed more than 400 DVDs in response to police department requests, and we know that some police departments are officially incorporating them into their training programs. We don't know how many and which ones because they're freely available to anyone.
Can officers really learn and retain new knowledge and methods of handling situations with dogs just by watching the videos?
We certainly hope so. Now, there are departments that are also doing follow-up hands-on training. So that's happening in Richmond, Virginia, for example, where the police department is using the videos, and then they have partnered with the local SPCA to develop some hands-on follow-up training. But the techniques are simple enough so that we're confident that real learning can take place simply by watching the videos.
Do members of law enforcement take these situations seriously? Are they eager students, or do they wish they were doing something else?
Well, 7,000 downloads is fairly impressive.
Yeah.
So I think that really tells you that there's some serious interest. I can't imagine that there are significant numbers of police officers out there who, you know, start their shift thinking that they want to shoot a dog. I don't think anyone wants to do this.
Yeah.
So if you can give people tools that allow them to both feel and be safe without having to rely on lethal force, they're likely to you know, be enthusiastic recipients of that information.
Janice, more and more officers are wearing body cameras as they go about their duties. How does that, or will that, alter the landscape of interactions with dogs?
I would expect that has something to do with the community response because there's, you know, I mean, nothing is invisible anymore. You know, whatever happens on the street eventually is available, you know, to the public. So, but even more than that availability of information, I think there's a changing attitude of people toward their family dogs. On a very sort of clear progression, more and more and more people, every time there's a survey done, consider their dogs to be members of their families. So that means that more and more people are going to find this kind of event less and less acceptable.
Wonderful.
And so there's more and more pressure on police to find alternatives.
Very good. Janice Bradley, Director of Communications and Publications with the National Canine Research Council. Thank you so much. Janice, please give my listeners your website and the website they can view the video.
Okay, so the easiest way to access the video is to go through our website, which is nationalcanineresearchcouncil.com. And then you'll see right up there on the homepage, on the roller, there will be a link to police and dog encounters. You click on that, it will take you to the direct link to the videos.
Janice Bradley, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, Lori.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org.
Did you know up to 1 in 5 Americans will get the flu this year because less than half of us get vaccinated? You didn't know? That's okay. We do. Rite Aid has certified immunizing pharmacists at the ready to discuss your risks, answer your questions, and shield you from what you don't know. So get your flu shot, no appointment necessary, at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
I'm a state-of-the-art 60-inch flat-screen TV. And I mean, not to brag or anything, but if a burglar ever breaks into this place, I'm pretty certain I'm the first thing he's going to steal. I mean, it's not like he's going to take that recliner over there or that coffee table.
Your stuff can't protect itself. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on renter's insurance. Renter's insurance will cover personal property loss or damage as well as provide liability protection. Visit geico.com today.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more on your federal or state income taxes, I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. The IRS, with their Fresh Start initiative, is offering more flexible terms to Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. They can help you lift your wage garnishments, stop bank levies, and put your tax problem behind you once and for all. If you owe tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars to the IRS or state, our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, we can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your debt for far less than what you owe. 888-794-1642. 888-794-1642. 888-794-1642. 888-794-1642.
It's the holidays, and for the U.S. Postal Service, this is our season for many reasons.
Because we treat every package like it's from our own Aunt Kathy.
Because we have the manpower, the tech power, and the willpower to get the job done.
Because of amazing services like text alerts.
Because we deliver to more people in more places than anyone.
Because through rain, sleet, snow, or whatever else Mother Nature throws at us, we bring our A-game.
When it comes time to ship your gifts, trust the U.S. Postal Service, because this is our season. Priority you. For more info about our services, go to USPS.com.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
Geico RV presents Reflections from the Road.
After a few hours riding in my RV, I get in the zone. It's just me, the road, and the savings I get with Geico RV insurance. There's no more worries, no more 9-to-5 hustle. It's like I'm a caged animal set free. What's that? Is it a grizzly bear? No, it's just me switching to Geico RV insurance. Saving money, wild and free.
Geico, for your RV, trailer, or camper. See how much you could save.
Animals Today. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori. How you doing?
Good. What's in the news?
Well, here's an interesting boy. A hunter killed a family dog named Ellie Mae. This pit bull mix was allegedly accidentally shot by the hunter, but he made the mistake. This is in North Carolina, by the way. He made the mistake of posting on Facebook a screenshot, and this showed, and he wrote, "My hunt was ruined by two dogs running two does, so I had to let one rip on the dogs."
So, oh my God, that's so sad.
Yeah. So this guy, like I said, not happy with the dogs that were chasing away his prey, couldn't help himself, had to tell the world. So he's been arrested, and consequently, there is a Facebook page, Justice for Ellie Mae, and you can go there. They've got 7,000 likes at the time of this recording, and they are raising money to go to Susie's Hope, which is a nonprofit that raises awareness about animal cruelty. And we'll let you know what happens to this fellow Trevor White.
What a horrible person he is.
Yeah. I mean, imagine the, that's crazy. Someone else is getting excited about shooting innocent animals. This is in off the San Diego coast. Multiple sea lions are being shot. People don't really know who's doing it. There is a concern that they are being shot by fishermen, either recreational or commercial fishermen, but you really can't prove that. And the animals are being washed up, injured or dead, and most of them cannot be saved. The description of the injuries are really horrific. And this is not a new thing. This has happened in previous years, but this year seems to be worse than ever. Four were killed last year, washed up in the Malibu area. And so if there are cash awards available for anyone who reports them, that leads to an arrest and conviction, of course. And it's just a tragedy. These beautiful animals happen to be very friendly. They approach the boats. They like the fish that are about to be hauled in to eat them, and so they really interfere with the fishing, and probably that's who's getting them.
Right. You mean the fishermen are probably the ones who...
Yeah. So too bad. Something nicer, the Seattle Zoo is about to phase out elephants from their... That's in Woodland Park Zoo in Seattle. They are going to finally end their elephant program. They've got two elephants there, a 47-year-old and a 35-year-old. They've been there for a while. It hasn't been determined where they're going, but they've determined after a committee meeting that they either needed to introduce many more elephants from multiple generations to keep everyone happy, or to just let these two go elsewhere.
The best of two options there.
So the zoo's president and CEO said that, quote, "It is a difficult decision to move these animals who have long played an important role as ambassadors for their species in the wild." So there's the ambassador sort of line. And
which zoos use often, right?
Often, right. She also said it's better for the animals to live with a larger social herd. Not realistic. in the foreseeable future to add elephants to the Seattle Zoo. Well, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So I guess congratulations.
Yeah, 30 years too late, but that's...
Hopefully these animals will have a nicer life in a sanctuary.
Yeah.
And a coalition, interesting coalition, has come together to ask a court to strike down Idaho's new controversial ag gag law, right? This statute, which was just passed, makes it a crime to conduct undercover investigations at an Ohio agricultural facility. And under the law, journalists, workers, activists, and members of the public can be convicted for videotaping animal cruelty or life-threatening safety violations. So the coalition argued that this statute violates the free speech clause of the First Amendment by suppressing speech that criticizes industrial farms, right?
Right.
And that the statute was motivated by unconstitutional animus against animal advocates in violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. So the coalition is pretty broad, including Animal Legal Defense Fund, PETA, ACLU, the Center for Food Safety, Farm Sanctuary, and on. There are probably 12 people or more listed, 12 groups of people listed.
Yeah.
So we'll let you know what many of these ag gag laws have not been passed, but this is the one state where it is actually been passed. So now it's finally being challenged. We'll let you know what happens there.
Great.
And cutest video of the week is the KLM commercial that talks about their lost and found service, and this is the most delightful thing. More than 15 million views on YouTube. If you search for KLM lost and found service, you will see the cutest little beagle in a KLM vest, same color as the uniforms, and he is shown to be returning a cell phone that someone left on the plane, bringing the cell phone back to the terminal to the delight and relief of various people. He also returned some headphones to the passenger, and the headphones, it's the passenger in the terminal who didn't realize they were missing.
So items left on the plane.
Left on the plane.
He'll go, put them in his mouth, and just go run in the terminal, find the person who left it in the plane.
Well, what they show is him sniffing it, and then they put it in his little pouch. He's got a pouch on the vest.
Yeah.
And he looks just like, you know, one of the human employees. And they've got him galloping, running from dog's eye view, beautiful cinematography, and he's the happiest thing doing his job, jumping over suitcases and all sorts of stuff. And I'll tell you the truth, it makes you smile and cry the same. It's just delightful. I don't see how you really need this dog to return these items, but who cares? You know, it's just the cutest thing. So check out that video.
As long as the dog's happy, that's all.
Take a minute and watch this video and tell me if you disagree.
Okay. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirschner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.